I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I think I can maybe be heard now. That's what happens when you take your mic out of your backpack and you go on mute. I'll recap a little bit of what I said just before I essentially was talking to absolutely nothing for the last few minutes. Wolves lose 99-88. Chris Finch is down giving his postgame remarks right now, calling out Anthony Edwards, saying that he needs to be better as the leader of the team. And I couldn't agree more. I thought Ant came out pretty lazy. He was 0 for 8, missed two gimme layups early on, which set a big-time tone for the Warriors' defense at the rim. Thought the Warriors, by the way, were excellent at the rim tonight. Really, really good. Outside of that, Finch also completely dogging on transition offense, which I could not agree more with. Just abysmal possessions in transition. The Wolves won the Lakers series on fast break points in transition offense, and they completely let that go this evening. The Warriors dictated the tempo of that game essentially from start to finish, outside of like the first 3 minutes of the game. Another thing that I touched on too, Draymond Green. Talked in the aftermath of the Houston game, in game seven, that he felt like he needed to give his team something to follow. He's the leader. He's the heartbeat of the team. And he didn't do that in the previous two games. This is after game seven. Come out tonight, Rudy Gobert starts 6 points, 5 rebounds, 3 very quick offensive rebounds on Draymond. And after that, Draymond starts 4 of 5 from 3. Knocks the target center crowd kind of back on its heels a little bit, puts them on edge, throws a mean first punch at the Wolves, and they never responded. They never responded to it. They had no idea what hit him. It was clearly in their scouting report that if Draymond wants to shoot threes, he can shoot threes. There were just at least 3 of those 4 were completely unguarded, which you do live with. But at that point on, knowing what we know now, I mean, that's where the game is lost right there. It's where the game is lost. I don't really think that there's much else that you can say on that. When Draymond Green starts 4 of 5 from 3, that becomes a problem. And your best player as the Wolves, as Ant starts 0 for 8 from 3, there's a mean first start. Talked a little bit about officiating too while I was on mute. So thank you all for staying with me if you've been on for the first 5 minutes and were just looking at me talk at nothing. Appreciate you guys joining. Thank you so much. And especially after a loss like this, frankly, I would just go to bed. So appreciate you hanging on and hanging around. Talking a little bit about officiating, this was an instance where I'm typically not one to bag on officiating. I think it's kind of weak and I think it's a cop out. I think it's a cop out tonight, specifically also to bag on officiating. However, that said, I do think it was a little bit one-sided. I think the Warriors on one end were getting by with a little bit more jersey tugging, a little bit more contact at the rim than the Wolves were. I thought there were a few touch fouls on the other end with the Wolves when they were kind of getting momentum in the third quarter that really knocked them backwards when they were maybe starting to pick themselves back up off the mat a little bit. And it did kind of feel like, you know, even from the start when there was an officiating timeout for Buddy Hield wearing the wrong shorts, which, by the way, stop me if you've heard that one before. I mean, that was completely, completely different. And then you have another long time out for a shot clock reset. I mean, there were just overall game officiating errors on this one, but did feel like Golden State maybe got a little bit better end of the whistle this time around. And sometimes that happens. Is that the reason that the Wolves lost this game? Absolutely not. They're bringing down the house lights here, so sorry if the lighting gets a little bit worse. Wolves went the first half without hitting a three. Ant went the first half 0 for 8. The Wolves had a tweet that's left the cadence. I'll fact check myself now. The second worst scoring half in franchise history. 1997, I believe. They put up 27. Kevin Garnett on the team. 2015, they had 33.5. And that was in just, I mean, that starting five was something that that's out of a horror movie. We all know what the mid-2010s Timberwolves were. And tonight they come out and score 31 in the first half. And after Draymond hit his first four threes, it was an ass-kicking up and down the floor up until about 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. You completely took yourself out of the game. Completely. Just to kind of recap where things went. I mean, the Wolves started out 31 points in the first half, one of their worst scoring halves in franchise history. Yeah, yeah, Brandon, worse than game two in LA, believe it or not. 31 points in the first half. And actually, you know what I'm going to do while we're here? I'm going to try out a little sharing of the screen. And I'm going to share this box score from 2015. Timberwolves 7-33 at the time, get blown out by the Charlotte Hornets. They scored 33 points. This is the last time that they had a first half this bad. Look at this starting five. You have Thaddeus Young playing 32 minutes. You have Andrew Wiggins playing 32 minutes. I believe this was his rookie year. Gorgui Dieng playing 33. And you have a 52-point scorer, Mo Williams, playing 29. Look at those plus-minuses across the board. Not good. Not good. I wonder if they maybe hit a three in the first half. That could possibly be. There's a pie chart of blame to go around here. I think a lot of it is Anthony Edwards. I think that Chris Finch is completely right in what he's saying in his post-game comments right now. You have to set a better tone, man. It's game one. Robbie John Hummel, when did that become a thing, Leo? I have no idea. That is breaking news to me that we are putting that much respect on Robbie Hummel's name, but I can't argue with it. I think it might be warranted. Brandon, what do we do with Nah? I don't know, man. That was a completely brutal game from him tonight. It's been a brutal playoffs for him altogether. We can get into him in a little bit. One last thing on this one. When I say that this game was an ass kicking, there's a couple reasons for that. Not only were the Wolves just completely non-respondent to any punches that were thrown early on in the first half, I thought the Warriors played their tails off, man. Even with Pat Spencer in the game, I know there were some jokes made about that. They did a few things that completely mitigated the advantages that the Wolves had on paper. They gang rebounded, completely canceling out the Wolves' size. Every single rebound that came off of the rim was contested. They made the Wolves work for every single time that they wanted to end a possession. They contested every single drive. That's point two. Every single one. They forced and begged the Wolves to shoot threes, because why wouldn't you? You didn't hit a three until the third quarter. So they dared them to shoot threes. They kind of did. But at that point in time, when the Wolves said, okay, let's go to the basket, the Warriors were shading every single drive with a help defender. And every drive went into two or three defenders. Especially when the Warriors went zone, they were just collapsing on every single thing that came inside the paint. It didn't work. And it's a little bit alarming, too, because what if this three-point shot is more of a trend? You want horror story? Go scroll down Ryan Eichton's Twitter feed. He was all over the three-point issues tonight. I mean, this stretch that they've had over the last two games, shooting the basketball, you'd hope it doesn't become a trend, But if it even be, if it stays close to this, if they're shooting 30% or lower game after game, this is a, this becomes a completely different series than that everybody thinks it is. If they can pull it together, then we're talking about a completely different team. And we're walking out of here with a Wolves win tonight. They shot 5% from three at the end of the third quarter. It was 5% from three. They finished 17% from three. They ended up shooting, I think, 39% from the field. Let's take a look at just some of the overall game stats here. Because they're something. Especially we'll take a look at some of the shot charts too. Because that's also, those were also pretty funny. Go ahead and take a look at the right side of the screen. Anything beyond the arc on the Timberwolves side, not looking very good. It's almost like, frankly, and Ryan and I were talking about this in the first half. Even though they weren't hitting anything, didn't really hate them still kind of taking advantage of some of those wide open three-pointers. I mean, at the end of the day, on paper, they're a good three-point shooting team. So that's just not quite something that really took a massive issue with. The issue is when you completely, you know, fall backwards afterwards and you are clearly having the yips from beyond the arc and you're going to the paint into three guys and then it's just, it just becomes a losing battle and you play into what the Warriors want you to. Taking a look at some of the leaders, Buddy Hield had a really nice game, specifically in the second half. I mean, he was coming off a lot of screens that the Wolves just didn't have a lot of answers for. I mean, a lot of his looks were really, really good. He finishes at 24. Ant with 23. Again, getting called out in the post-game press conference from Chris Finch. And rightfully so. He finishes with 23. He was 9 for 22 from the field. He also led the team in rebounds, which is another thing that's maybe a little bit concerning. Thought Rudy was fine tonight. He needed to be really good. He was fine. That's a problem. The other thing, too, that's really interesting to point out is points in the paint were nearly doubled up on the Wolves' end. Wolves have 52 points in the paint to the Warriors 28. That was because that's the only way that the Wolves could score tonight. And that needs to be something that needs to be watched throughout the series. Because tonight, even though the Wolves were historically bad shooting the basketball through the first three quarters of the basketball game, this, it still showed that you can dominate points in the paint against the Warriors. And it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things if they're controlling the pace of the game. If they're getting out and running on you. Fast break points, frankly, 6 to 10, I don't really care about that stat. The pace of the game was completely controlled by Golden State. Second chance points, 14 to 13. It can't be close this series if you want to win. The Warriors are dealing with a massive size disadvantage. You cannot get negated by gang rebounding as much as you did. 14-13 second chance points. Let's, if you guys really want to, we can run down the horror story of a box score that's in existence. Hield again leads the Warriors. He was plus 22. Thought he was probably their best player. It also shouldn't take me 20 minutes into the live to talk about Steph Curry going down in the first quarter and not coming back. That's going to be a big thing for this series. If he's out, he's strained hamstring. I would imagine it's a week minimum. It would be a modern miracle of medicine if he was back sooner than that. But frankly, if the Warriors play like they did tonight and the Wolves even shoot at an average level that they have over the last couple games, at the level that they have over the last couple games, even a little bit better, this series becomes dramatically more entertaining even without a Steph Curry. Buddy Hield's plus 22. He has 24 points. Jimmy Butler has 20 points. He was a plus 15. I thought he was fine again. I thought he was held relatively in check. Draymond Green was 4 for 10 from three. He took 10 three-pointers, man. He took 10. All four of them were in the first half. So it gave the Wolves momentum. Steph played 12 minutes and then was promptly out of the game.
San Diego.
On the Wolves side, I mean, get ready. You're going to want to close your damn eyes when I scroll down this. Jaden McDaniels was the best offensive player, I thought, for the Wolves tonight. I thought Julius Randle was okay, but I thought Jaden was good at getting to the basket. He's kind of set the tone on that side of the ball physicality-wise. Kind of did exactly what he did in game three, just the Wolves lost, and it wasn't as pretty. And 9 for 22, you just can't have it. 0 for 8 in the first half, can't have it. Dante DiVincenzo continues to struggle, 3 for 11. He was the beneficiary, or I guess the problem or the recipient of a couple pretty bad fouls, I thought, trying to get into some of the Warriors defensively, and it just didn't really work for him. And then Naz Reid. Thought Naz Reid had a fine game, especially in the fourth quarter. The Wolves did end up cutting it to 9 two different times in the fourth. That needs to be mentioned, and I think Naz Reid was a big part of that. But it ended up not being – it ended up not really mattering, because when you go into the fourth quarter down 20 points, your margin for error is razor thin. As a matter of fact, it doesn't exist. You need to play a perfect quarter. The Wolves almost did. The Wolves almost played a great quarter. Got it down to 9 points with 6 minutes left. Had all the momentum. Got Draymond Green down to up to 5 fouls. In big time foul trouble. Let go of the rope a little bit. Got it back down to 9 with 3.5 minutes left. And that's where your margin of error completely screws you over. You have nothing to stand on. If you can't, 9 points with 3.5 minutes left, that's about as good of a scenario, especially with 6 minutes left. That's about as good of a scenario as you could have dreamed up, given how everything went tonight.
And I'm just throwing this out there.
Just once again, just talking about officiating, because there's a lot of stuff online. I've been kind of looking at Twitter over these last couple minutes, and it's kind of a hellscape when it comes to talking about the officiating.
No.
Yeah, Brandon, I'll put this up on the stream. That's a good point. You have a complete drought after you cut that lead to 9. I mean, they put themselves in situations late in the game where they could have pulled it off. And you want to talk about stealing a game at home, which is essentially not a thing. That would have been the definition of stealing a game at home, is if you're able to pull that out in the last few minutes. Completely uninspired game of basketball. About five, I would say, really, if you were to divvy it out, they played probably 7 to 8 good minutes tonight as a team. 7 to 8 good minutes. And again, I credit to the Warriors, man. I mean, they played their asses off, especially after Curry went out. Felt like that kind of inspired them a little bit. It's weird. Defensively, they were really, really good. Rebounded the ball tremendously. Gang rebounded on Rudy. Gang rebounded on Randle. Made it really tough for the Wolves to end possessions. I mean, they just played a scrappy, just nose-grinding game. And they got rewarded for it. Ant finished with 14 rebounds. He led the Wolves. That shouldn't happen in a perfect world, but it did. That's kind of an issue. But it shows that the Warriors were incredibly effective in gang rebounding. Fast break points were a disaster. It's how the Wolves have won every single game so far in the playoffs. They win the fast break battle. They get the ball. They go out and run. They did neither of those things well tonight. There's one possession. I'm going to post it on Twitter. when the game clips drop on the play-by-play on NBA.com. There was a fast break. I believe it was in the second quarter. Correct me if I'm wrong on this one. Julius Randle gets the ball and has a 3-on-1 fast break. I believe Draymond Green is the defender on it too. And just completely throws it out of bounds. It's a microcosm of how the fast break was tonight. Took the ball, threw it out of bounds. 3-on-1 fast break. I believe at that point, too, the game was less than 10. This was early on. Threw it out of bounds. Just a microcosm of how things went. It was just mental error after mental error after mental error. And that's why you have Chris Finch downstairs right now calling out effort and calling out number five for not setting the tone on that. It's pretty easy to point out. Shout out to Robbie John Hummel. I has not left my head in the time that I've been doing this stream. Like, that was like a really good point, Leo. Like, when did that become a thing? I have no idea. Brandon, you talked a little bit about Nah in the chat. They need more from him, man. Like, they need more from him. It's really that simple. He no-showed in the Lakers series completely, which was, I think, a little bit fair at that point in time because it was just not a personnel series that was conducive to what he does. Like, he was fine defensively, but I think the Lakers had some matchups for him. And also in that series, too, like, it was Jaden's series. Like, that was the guy who needed to show up for the Wolves to be able to take LA down. And he did it and it was fine. And like Nikhil no showing was completely okay. Not so much in this series. You need your guards to guard. Okay. Nikhil matches up with 80% of the players that are going to enter the game for the Warriors in this series, especially now with Steph on the bench. He strained his hamstring. He's for sure not going to be back on Thursday. Again, it's a medical miracle if he makes it. You match up with 80% of the players on the Warriors. You're what I would classify as an elite perimeter defender. You're a solid shot maker when you're open. And honestly, at the end of the season, he was developing his game kind of from the outside in. He was getting to the rim. He was able to finish and kind of catch people on pump fakes. Brian's coming up the stairs now. He was in post-game pressers. He'll give a little bit of a vibe check. But Nikhil has to come to the party, man. I mean, you cannot no-show for two series in a row. And this is the one that they need you, specifically. Both ends of the floor. You got to hit open shots. You got to get to the basket. Come on in here and join me. But yeah, Brandon, really good point. Like, you just can't have this stuff from Nikhil Alexander-Walker. He's too important to just completely fall off the map. Give me a vibe check.
Yeah, it was the difference in the vibe between Finch and the players, I thought, was obvious. Finch was fairly frustrated with, obviously, their play, not surprisingly. I'm out of breath.
Yeah, if you need to catch your breath here, I can keep going for a little bit. You are.
It's a lot of stairs.
Yeah, Ryan's running stairs, and I mean, what can he do at this point?
But Finch was fairly frustrated with how they came out. Just like, he didn't like necessarily effort because like he's just like, if I got to be the one to pump him up, like they're just like that just can't be the case. But he was very clearly frustrated with Ant's performance to start the game and thought. Not just Ant, but Ant specifically was not able to set the tone, and as well as when like the shots didn't fall, Ant was like the one who let it affect his game most, which I think we'd both say that was the case, right?
Yep. Yeah, it was a completely uninspiring effort from Ant. And I'm actually, I was reading some of the tweets here, as I think John put something out about it. It's like, I'm glad that Finch said something about it because it wasn't even just Ant that was, it wasn't even just the offense that wasn't working for Ant. Like, there were multiple blown assignments early on Curry where Ant just forgot to switch. And it was kind of a disaster class. I mean, it was both ends, inattentive on the defensive side of the ball. And then offensively, just completely messed up early on in the game and kind of messed up the flow of the offense. I think too, specifically, like I was talking about it too, like officiating, yeah, it wasn't good. I'm not going to use it as a cop-out for this game, but when you have two early stoppages like that and a guy like Ant who like if he comes out a certain way, he comes out a certain way. When you stop the game like that very early on, and it's just he's a young player, he'll learn from this stuff. But when you have two massive stoppages like that and kind of breaks the play, and especially the momentum of the fans too, I think that was something that he also maybe fed off of a little bit just by kind of seeing how the game unwound from that point on. Rudy was really the one who brought in the first quarter. It wasn't really anybody else.
And they kind of went away from him in the third quarter. I kind of thought that was a mistake because the Wolves are just not able to guard well enough with Rudy off the court. But Mike kind of said that at the beginning of the game, they're a bit too wound up, just that they had too much energy. And then on the podium tonight was Randall, Ant, and Nas. And they kind of, they didn't deny that, but were just more like, their big thing was like, we just got to play better. We just got to hit shots. And obviously, like, that's very true. And like the 3-point percentages and the shots in the paint are like the biggest example of that. Like you just, if they're going to shoot like that, like you're cooked, obviously. And I don't think any of us expect it to happen. I tweeted out like, no, never in the playoffs has a team shot 73 pointers in a 2-game stretch and made 16% of them or less like the Wolves have. And only twice in regular season history has that happened. Like the last two games, and they won one of them and only lost by 11 tonight. Like they just need to hit some shots. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot else. Like, go look at the box score. Each team hit the same number of field goals, and the Wolves hit two more free throws. The difference in the game was that the Warriors hit a bunch more threes.
And your margin for error in the fourth quarter, when you really started to come around and play a little bit better, is so razor thin at that point in time that you just can't make enough hay to get back into the game at that point in time, in terms, as a Midwest colloquialism would be. I frankly would come away with a little surprise just because I feel like Finch and the players would be a little bit flipped. I thought Finch would be like, well, we didn't make shots. You know, we just got to play a little bit better. Come out next game, the energy levels will improve. And I figured the players would be like, Ant would take ownership and say, I didn't have enough energy. I came out a little flat, yada, yada, yada.
And he did do that. He did take accountability for the bad game. But also, which I don't, I'm not, it's a lot of these times it falls into like, what else are they supposed to say category? Like you want them to come out and blast their own team? Of course not. But I think they're not admitting, like if they came out and said it was just missing shots, that would have been a frustrating talking point. But like the missing shots was a big thing. And I think they talked about the areas of the game where they need to improve as well.
Yeah, Brandon, you mentioned TSJ minutes. Like, is that something that we would have moving forward? I don't think so. I mean, here's what I will say. Third quarter, Ryan and I were sitting next to each other. I was like, at this point, bring in Terrence Shannon, because you need someone who can, one, guard Buddy Hield that hasn't been done effectively so far, and two, you just need energy. Like, you need someone to come in and pick the pace up a little bit. Do I think Draymond will pod tonight, Leo? Yeah, probably. I mean, let's be honest. He's probably, they're back at the Four Seasons right now. He's probably setting up his ring light.
Julius did say he needs to do better rebounding, needs more than three boards. I think that's true. The rebounding tonight was like, that was a big thing to me. Like they gave up, I think it was 16 offensive rebounds to the Warriors. I don't know if they got any more since I checked the stat, but like that just, those are going to be in trouble. If they're not dominating the offensive glass, but I don't know how much you talked about it, but the biggest thing from the game might be that Steph is potentially injured.
I talked about it a little bit and talked about the impact that it'll have in series. It'd be surprising if he's back within a week. But I mean, the other thing too is like, there are two trends for me that I thought were pretty concerning tonight moving forward. Is one, gang rebounding effectiveness for Golden State, making every single ending of a possession tough. That needs to pick up.
I mean, which, and Gobert had three offensive rebounds in the first 6 minutes of the game, and they just didn't have that the rest of the way.
Exactly. And they made it very tough to end any sort of possessions. That was number one. And then number two was like getting to the rim. Like once the Wolves like were able to settle down and say, okay, we're not making threes, let's get to the rim, they're driving into three guys, and every single time it was incredibly physical. And that's where some of the officiating stuff, I think, kind of plays into it. I think maybe there could have been a couple more fouls called. But at the end of the day, you're playing right into the Warriors' hands. And when you're going to the paint, when you're a team like the Wolves, you double up the Warriors in paint points today, 52-28. That's important. But when you're driving into three guys and you're not hitting your outside shots, the Warriors are making it tough to, one, get offensive rebounds, and two, end possessions on the defensive end. Just because they lost the paint points battle doesn't necessarily mean they lost the paint. I think they bend and they bent tonight and they didn't break. And that's what they need to do all series long. If they're going to do this, they need Draymond Green to keep hitting threes at a 40% clip too, which I don't think is sustainable.
Thinking big picture, I'm not sure how much of what happened tonight like carries over game to game. It's not a game that makes me like any more worried about the rest of the season. Obviously going down 1-0 lowers your chances to win the series, but I think the Wolves showed enough where I'm confident if they play well, that they can win enough 4 of the next 6 games in the series. But they didn't play well, and so they lost. And I mean, how long is Curry out? The Wolves are 10-point favorites on Thursday. That signals that, and Kerr kind of signaled that they aren't expecting him for game 2.
At least a week in my mind. It would be a modern marvel of medicine if he came back within a week.
They obviously haven't said anything. They're listing him day to day as they should, because there's no reason to speculate. He'll get an MRI tomorrow. He could be back in a week. No one's hoping for this. He might have played his last minutes in the series. We don't know. But that's a huge swing point. If you're looking, Wolves are -130 favorites to win this series after being -160 before the game. So that signals to me that like the expectation is Curry misses a couple games. To be blunt, if Curry's missing a lot of time, the Wolves should win every game that Curry misses.
If Curry's out for the series, then that is that is a series changer.
Even if he misses misses 2 games, that's just huge, because the Wolves are going to be pretty sizable favorites. 10 points in the playoffs is as big as you get between other than like a 1-8 series game. And if he misses game 3, they're going to be favored again. Like it's lame to talk about because like you want to see everyone healthy, but
it's Stephen Curry.
Yeah. Knock on wood, never happens, but if Ant was potentially missing a game, like we'd all be freaking out about it. Unfortunately, it's a missed opportunity for the Wolves, because the Warriors buy themselves some time to potentially have their guy come back.
Yep. And I think the other thing too is the Wolves have to find a way to solve that defense that the Warriors put together between both their zone and kind of the shading that they were doing on drives and then on the kickout. Scrambling super, super well to the ball. I mean, the Warriors were flying around defensively.
Yeah, that's what stood out to me is like, this is not the Lakers. This is a much better defensive team. I don't know if they're like the number one defense that they've been since they traded for Jimmy. I don't know if they're that good, but they're certainly one of the better defenses left in the playoffs. And that'll be the biggest thing to watch for game 2, even if Curry is out, is like you said, what can the Wolves do against their defense? Because that's going to – Curry out, that's going
to
stick.
Even with no Curry, you have to solve for that, because the Warriors hit enough shots where they can steal another game, or they can take it. It is not out of the question to take it to 7 games without Steph Curry if they play the way they played tonight defensively. I mean, they were taking away paint points. They were contesting 3-pointers. And for a team that, frankly, does not have a lot of confidence shooting the basketball right now, that's enough to at least give you a little something heading into game 2, even though the Wolves are 10-point favorites, and frankly, if I was a betting man on my own teams, I would take that.
I mean, teams like, just we saw this in the Lakers series. Home teams that lose game 1, their win percentage in game 2 is incredibly high.
It's high.
I mean, it's a multiple factors of, if you're playing game 2 at home, you're theoretically the better team. It's just the natural, like, you, the away team gets one and they relax a little bit. There's a lot of reasons for that, but yeah, it would certainly be a game that, I mean, I'm going to tweet this out on Thursday. There isn't such thing as a must-win game 2. But damn it, if the Wolves really got to win game 2.
It's a must-win game 2. solve the defense, move around a little bit, hit some shots. I think that has to be the keys for game two. Wolves look like 10-point favorites, and they will be back here at Target Center Thursday night, 7:30. It's going to be another sold-out crowd. Crowd was really good tonight until Draymond hit four threes, and they got maybe knocked back on their heels a little bit. Fourth quarter, they came right back alive, and the Wolves just couldn't quite get it done. Lots to look at tonight. Just really an all-around unfortunate loss. Just you can't quite pull it out when you get it to nine in the fourth quarter, and you fell behind early on and just couldn't climb out of the hole that you put yourself in. For now, I'm Andrew. It's Ryan. We will be back. We will stream after game two on Thursday. We'll have a recap out on the site. Thank you all for tuning in. Definitely appreciate it. We'll see you next time.
Go Wolves.
Ayoo!
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.